Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the official Redbird Rant Podcast, episode number 14 of season 2. I'm Dr. Michael Miles, one of the co-editors at Redbird Rant, joined today by my fellow editor, Trevor Hoos. Trevor, how you doing?
I'm good. I wouldn't miss this podcast for the world. Just ignore sounds of the road because I got to go into work.
Hey, that's no problem at all. No problem at all. And what a special podcast we are doing. But Trevor, I would be remiss if I did not welcome to the podcast some of our writers, some of our greatest and best writers who are joining us today for this special, very full podcast full of contributors. And the first one up is to say a huge shout out to Christian Mace. How are you, CMS?
I am rather ecstatic. I almost spilt my beer upon hearing the wonderful news that brought about this excellent podcast.
I tell you what, I had some beers earlier in the night, but I was not drinking any at the time that I heard it, but I too was ecstatic, and we're going to definitely dive into that. One rule before we get going, Christian is not allowed to do any funny voices on this podcast to throw me off of my game. Does that sound fair?
That's fair.
All right. And next up, we'll say a huge welcome to Matt Graves. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Sunday.
And a happy Sunday to you. A happy second podcast for you. Welcome back. Apparently, we didn't scare you off in the first one.
Yeah. No, this is real fun. It's only a little scary. It'll get less scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, the rest of us mess up enough, so don't worry about it. And in fact, let's welcome, for his first podcast with us, Russ Robinson. Russ, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well as considered here in Swamp East, Missouri. It's just really hot, so we're trying to stay cool down here.
Boy, you know what? You can't say that enough. I'm here in Memphis, and it is a killer, and it is so, like you said, swampy. It's disgusting. I can only imagine in St. Louis as well. It's got to be pretty gross.
Yeah, at least they got some rain. We could use a little rain here.
Oh, I hear that. I think we're supposed to get some here. But, guys, let's dive right into it, because I want us to be able to talk about each component of this huge, monumentous event that happened with the St. Louis Cardinals last night being Saturday night. Something that we learned today was actually in the works since Friday. Mozeliak himself said during the press conference today that the decision to fire Mike Matheny was made on Friday, and that they had decided to do the firing following the game on Saturday, regardless of the outcome of the game. So I want to start with you, Trevor. Just focus on Matheny only. Give us your reaction to the news of Mike Matheny's firing.
Well, my reaction is Matheny's not the real prize for me, but I know we'll get into that later. The real prize for me is John Mabry, but Matheny's part of that, and this team's been struggling. Going in, this lineup is something that going into the season, I thought was going to be able to do something, and that's been the past couple of years, and they haven't. And of course, it's stories that Matheny's handling of the bullpen is not really, I'm going to use the word ideal. But, again, the prize for me is Mabry, and I know you guys have some more in-depth thoughts about Matheny. I was never fully against Matheny, so I'm going to leave this part of the conversation mostly to the other great writers we have, and, of course, the man who's happiest about it, which would be you, Dr. Miles.
Yes, that's fair. I will own that moniker. I am the happiest about it. Christian, what do you think about the firing of Mike Matheny?
I thank the gods every day. It is long overdue that Mike Matheny should have been fired. I mean, I was so sick of, I mean, even last night, moves like man on second, no outs, against a pitcher who is throwing, topping out about 86, 87 miles per hour, and you decide to bunt with Colton Wong, a guy who has been in the slump but has finally started to swing the bat well and could use a little extra jolt to keep it going. You choose with no outs to bunt with him. The kinds of moves like that are just so irrational, so detrimental, so just out of nowhere that I just like, for me, it's been long overdue. I was sick and tired of just stupidity like that. We can go into the bullpen management, all of that stuff. But I think that move in itself sort of epitomized the inability for Mike Matheny to really go out and get things. It's just a very sort of irrational, passive move, and that's not something that will help a team win.
Yeah, and in fact, I saw some reports today that people talked that a lot of the things that were said during the press conference had to do with energy, and that the reaction seems to be that Matheny's Eeyore status of running the clubhouse was something that they felt desperately in need of change. What are your thoughts, Matt, on the dismissal of Mike Matheny?
I think it's really easy as a fan to second guess the moves that he made most of the time. Most of the time, if it would have worked out, we would have praised him as smart, and I mean, obviously some of us wouldn't have, but the biggest on-field thing for me that I thought was a problem was the double switching of the third batter all the time. I never understood that, but other than that, I don't have too much of an opinion because I realize it's a really hard job. The thing that, and I was excited when I first heard this, and it wasn't because of the on-field, it was the fact that it was just time in so many different ways to get a different voice in the clubhouse. And I think it's not as much a knock on Matheny as it is just a need for something different. Because what the same voice coming through was not working anymore. And I wish the best for Mike Matheny. I don't hate the guy. I'm just very happy that they decided to try and salvage, since we're only four games out in the wild card. Only four. And I love the timing of it, and I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, and I want to come back to you as well, Matt, and I know that our fellow writer of ours, Jason, has really talked about, you know, saying positive to Matheny, even though he's not now the manager, that a person can like him as a person and as a former player. And I want to circle back to that with everybody as well. But before we do that, though, Russ, jump in here and let us know what you think or what you felt about the firing of Mike Matheny.
Well, I got to tell you, I was a little surprised. I wasn't expecting it. I had complete faith the Cardinals were willing to tread water till the end of the year and keep Matheny and Mabry on. I went to bed last night right before it happened, I guess, and I woke up this morning and I had 44 unread messages in our direct, in our Redbird Ranch direct message line there, and I had to catch up with it about 6 o'clock this morning. And so I'm not anti-Matheny, but at the same time, from the day one, I thought he had problems managing the bullpen. And I remember thinking that in his first year, and I thought, well, he'll get better, but it didn't seem like he got much better over his 7-year tenure. And I also thought this time last year, I remember getting in a Twitter conversation with some other Cardinal fans, and I thought he was beginning to lose the clubhouse in. I thought it might explain some of the things that were going on, with the defense break, the defensive meltdowns and things like that. So, I thought it was coming, but I just didn't think it would happen now.
And, Doc, Doc, let me just jump in real quick because I'm glad that, Russ mentioned our Redbird Rants group, because I just want to share a little nugget of that conversation because it was one of the funniest things I think I've ever read. And that was Jason, as you talked about, is all for, you know, the positives of Matheny and everything. And he's talking about how our lineup still needs to improve. And CMS comes back with, let people be excited about things. And I almost dropped my phone in laughter.
Yeah, you gotta count on CMS to come in with some really great pieces of stuff there. And Russ, to you, I just want to say sorry that our chat last night blossomed into 45 or so messages back and forth. many of them were me in the excitement and the joy of seeing something that I have begged for since 2016. And as a matter of fact, if you all will remember, at the end of 2016, the team brought up, the organization brought up Mike Schilt to come in as the bench coach. Actually, at that time, he wasn't the bench coach. If you remember, he came up as a quality control coach, which was a created position. Mm-hmm. And I even wrote a piece then that I felt like Mosalek was putting into place the replacement for Matheny. Mm-hmm. So he already had someone in the dugout. And as of last mm-hmm. night, we got to see that. Now, let me tell you my reactions to Mike Matheny and the firing. I don't have a problem with him as a person. I have a massive problem with him as a manager. As I have said many times, I think Matheny does a decent enough job planning for the games on paper, but cannot, or at least did not show me, at any time during his seven-year tenure, any time of him being able to adjust on the fly and manage the game in the midst of the game. Then you add in, as you said, Russ, the degradation of the clubhouse beginning last season and extending further into this season. Then you add in the Dexter Fowler mess that we've just endured, which reminded me a lot of the La Russa Colby Rasmus mess. And quickly behind the Colby Rasmus mess came some changes, where Rasmus was actually sent mm-hmm. off, and then La Russa decided to take his retirement, go out on a high note. And, right. You know, what we're talking about now is that Mike Matheny simply didn't have what the Cardinals need right now. And I think we have to be very honest with that. What they need right now is at least to win and at least to have somebody with some passion. My cousin actually mm-hmm. sent me a text message today that said he really feels like Mike Schilt should get ejected from this game at some point, just to show the team that he's got fire and passion and he's got their back. Mm-hmm. And my response to him was, I would not hate that at all. And I can tell mm-hmm. you from the time I covered Mike Schilt in AAA down in Memphis, he is not afraid to be ejected, which I think Matheny was very much afraid of being ejected. So those were my thoughts on the firing of Mike Matheny. Now, before we move off of his name, I do want us to give some justice to the idea of keeping positive about Matheny as a former player and staying positive about Matheny as a person. And let me tell you from the bottom of my heart, Matheny was and is a very decent human being, someone who refuses to swear, someone who has really the utmost belief in a strong character, and that sort of thing. And I think that's to be admired. I certainly don't want us to take away from that. Additionally, Matheny was one hell of a catcher, and I will say hell where Matheny won't, but he was one hell of a catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals and was replaced by the great Yadier Molina. Mm-hmm. I think those are memories that we all should keep. What do you think, Russ? What do you think about staying positive about Matheny?
Well, definitely. He's part of the Cardinal family. And you know, Michael, you were talking about what a great catcher he was. I remember when he was still catching, he was the clubhouse guy. He was the guy that held people accountable in the clubhouse. You know, I can't remember the relief pitcher that they got in 2004, Julian Tavares. I don't know if you guys remember him. And he came in spring training that year, and he and Matheny had had an issue with each other when I think Tavares was with the Pirates. And I think Matheny felt like Tavares hit him intentionally during a game. And they wouldn't, and Matheny wouldn't have anything to do with him when he was in spring training until it found out Tavares was going to make the team. And the other players on the team were really cold to him. And Tavares, this is Tavares' story. He said when they found out he was going to make the team, Matheny came forward and said, congratulations, and they buried the hatchet. And at that point, the other players came forward. So I think, he certainly was a great clubhouse leader at that time when he was a player. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I really feel like the organization hoped that he would have brought that to the clubhouse yet again. And perhaps he did
right.
in the first couple of years. But maybe his real estate investment problems took over some of his mind. But Matt, what do you
Could
think
have.
About staying positive with Matheny?
Well, yeah, and I'm currently writing a piece about this, just thinking about it, but I won't hold anything back. I think that you have to first acknowledge how hard the job is. And if you think if you could get in there and do any better, you're probably wrong. It's difficult, but you just have to be able to compartmentalize how you look at him. Because if you don't, then you are just going to be bitter and you're going to lose a great figure from Cardinals history. And I think that's a shame if a fan lets that happen to them. So I was not a huge – well, when Matheny was still managing, I was seven. So catching, I was seven. So not a huge fan at that point, at least following closely. But from what I've heard, he was a great guy. I don't think it was a bad choice for him to come in the first place. I just think it kind of went downhill, but still make sure we go out and appreciate all that he's done for this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
CMS, you have anything to add?
I mean, I can keep it short and sweet for you. I mean, I appreciate Mike Matheny and all he's done for the Cardinals organization, and I wish him well in his future endeavors, so long as they're as far away from the Cardinals front office and Cardinals management and the Cardinals coaching staff as possible.
And ironically, I feel the exact same way about my first wife. Trevor, any of your take on staying positive about my dating?
Yeah, there's different parts to every player. If you're a player on the field, if you're a manager, and if you're a person, I mean that's the three parts of Matheny. He was a player, he's a manager, he's a person. And if people want to attack him as a player or as a person just because they disagree with how he managed, then that person really doesn't understand the game and how it works. So you can disagree with him as a manager. A lot of people did, and that's fine. He's not the manager anymore. That doesn't take away what kind of person he is or what he did for the Cardinals when he was playing for them.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's very well said. You and CMS both, even though I may have joked about it, it's very well said that we have to recognize that while he lost his job for his ability to serve as manager, he did not lose his job because he was a bad person. He did not lose his job mm-hmm. because he was a poor catcher in his day with the Cardinals. And we do need to keep that separate. So, guys, let's do something really quick. We're going to take our first break of the episode. Thank you for joining us and listening. You are listening to the 14th episode of the second season of the official Redbird Rant podcast. Here on Blog Talk Radio, and we will be right back. And thanks for sticking with us. You are listening to a very special official Redbird Rant podcast, actually episode number 14 of season 2, in which we have brought together so many great voices to talk about the change that the Cardinals enacted on Saturday night around 10 p.m. And guys, let's dive into the next piece, which was the coup d'etat of the announcement last night. It was the dismissal of John Mabry and Bill Moore. CMS, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on dismissing Mabry and Moore?
My thoughts are, sayonara, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, I'm sure anyone who's read any of my pieces, I'm sure anyone who's listened to me on this podcast knows that I, as a player, but as a hitting coach, I despise Mike Matheny. I wanted to launch him on a rocket to Mars. I just wanted him as far away from the organization as possible. So this is definitely, it's definitely a very uplifting moment in my Cardinal fandom.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm going to go to Trevor now because I know this is the one he really wanted to comment to. Trevor, what were your comments on saying sayonara to Mabry and Miller?
Well, they all have to go with Mabry. I mean, again, nothing against him as a person or as a player, but as a hitting coach, I've written now twice about players who have gone to different sources for their hitting. And that's Tommy Pham, and that's Dexter Fowler. And, of course, Marcell Ozuna was watching tape on his own. And I know that it's not, you know, it's not abnormal for players to seek other help. But why is it two of your top three paid hitters in Fowler and Pham, and why is it Marcell Ozuna Ozuna and Fowler were the top paid, and why is it Tommy Pham who's supposed to be one of your big hitters? Why is it the main guys that are going elsewhere? And that's one of my biggest problems with Mabry. And I said this in my recent piece about Tommy Pham, who's going to be seeking help over the All-Star break. I don't think that it's Mabry not doing his job. Like it's coming. I think it's just he's not that great of a hitting coach. And that's what's forcing people to need to figure out something else in order for them to be productive. Because you're coming into the season with just those three guys, Pham, Fowler, and Ozuna, and they're supposed to be some of the best in your lineup, and they find struggles. So I'm not, again, nothing against Mabry as a person, nothing against Mabry as a player, but hitting coach just might not be his forte when you have some of the best guys in the lineup needing other help.
That's very fair, and you're right. The pieces you wrote that really examined the players going elsewhere brought a spotlight to John Mabry in a way that the production on the field may not have been. Russ, what were your thoughts on the firing, or rather the actual version was dismissal of John Mabry and his assistant hitting coach?
Are you talking to me? Don?
Yes, please,
Russ. Okay. You know, I wrote a piece in the off season that actually defended Mabry, and I felt like someone ought to, since everybody was out to get him. But my call on this is that it does seem like that when they'd get a player, whether it was Pham or if it was early in their career, Matt Adams or someone like that, the longer he worked with them, the worse they got. They might hit the Cardinals and they tear it up and it seemed like that they were, hey, we've got something here. Then by his second year, he started getting worse. And his third year, they trade him away. So it was time. Someone, you know, if Matheny goes, so does it was going to have to be Mabry was going to have to go too. I think this is just about a fresh approach on everything. I think that's what the Cardinals need. He probably worked hard. He's probably trying to do all he could, but I think it's time for a new voice, and I think that's what the Cardinals saw.
Matt, anything that you want to add to those comments?
Well, as far as a specific example, the whole Ozuna thing, I was actually, no pun intended, ranting about this last night. The fact that he had to wait so long to get that issue fixed, where people on the broadcast, both Jim Edmonds and then the ESPN broadcaster broke it down, other people on Twitter broke it down and showed exactly what the problem was, and the fact that it was after all of that that it first got fixed, and then Ozuna was on a tear and did great for about a week and a half, and then now people have shown that the issue is back again. That's the hitting coach's job. And I think he did a great job earlier where the Cardinals had some of the best offenses in the league in, like, 2013 when they went to the World Series in 2015 was a great offensive year. But I think the most important part is that he's able to adapt to the players that he has. And while he might have fit great with the players we had then, Tommy Pham, Dexter Fowler, and Ozuna were not there then. I mean, Pham a little bit, but his inability to adapt, it was just time. Same with Matheny. It was just time.
Yeah, and you know, guys, what's really interesting about Mabry, and I'm glad you said what you did, Matt, about his early years. We have to recognize that there was some hangover from La Russa and the championship team. And when it comes to Mabry coming in, remember, too, that Mabry followed behind Mark McGwire as the hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
And McGwire had some trouble connecting with players like Matt Holliday and others. And when Mabry came in, we never really saw him connect in a way that perhaps the hitting coach should. Now, having said that, Hal McRae, who was the hitting coach for so long under La Russa, also experienced a lot of those not connecting well with the player moments. And so it's tough because when a team is hitting and a team is clicking on all cylinders and players are doing well, we tend to praise the hitting coach. When they are not, for whatever reason, we tend to attack the hitting coach. At any rate, many of the times that I've written about John Mabry, I illustrated in those writings how he wasn't that great of a hitter. He certainly was not a great hitter against left-handed pitching, and that is something we see continuing with the St. Louis Cardinals. They struggle against left-handed pitching, and this was something he could not adequately address. His replacement, however, we will talk about in just a couple of minutes. I don't want to dive into that just yet, but I will tell you, just stick with us because that's going to be one heck of a conversation. I do want us to talk now about the naming of Mike Schilt as interim manager for the St. Louis Cardinals. And interestingly enough, we have now learned the organization intends for Mike Schilt to serve as the manager for the remainder of the 2018 season so that Mozeliak and Gersh and DeWitt can do their due diligence in finding a managerial replacement. Let's start with you, Matt. Talk to us about your opinions on Mike Schilt and what do you think about him serving as the manager for the rest of the season?
So as far as him staying the manager, I don't think there's any reason why not to. I think if you, most of the time, if you make a managerial change much later than the All-Star break or the trade deadline, it's not really going to change anything for that year, especially if they were to bring in an outside name. So I love that decision. But as far as clubhouse, we saw reactions from Jed Jericho and Harrison Bader. They seem supportive, which is great, obviously. They're going to say they're supportive to the media. But I woke up this morning and watched the whole press conference. And going down the line, it was Gersh, Bill DeWitt, and then John Mozeliak, and then Schilt. And they all talked different times about how we need to be a playoff team. We need to be competitive. And Mike Schilt was the only one on that panel of our four leaders who said, we need to go out and win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, the language that he was using around his vision for the team really showed a lot. Because he said he was passionate, and he showed that he was passionate about winning the World Series, not just making the playoffs. And I understand he's probably only going to end up being the manager for half this season. And DeWitt and everybody else has longer time horizons. But just, I love to hear that, especially after hearing from the Blues where they said, go out and do what you need to get us a cup. And then they went out and did it. I love just the distinction between just being a playoff team or saying we need to be number one. I love that.
Yeah, and listen, Mike Schilt is the kind of guy who's going to make those statements, and he's going to do everything he can to live up to them. CMS, what do you think about Schulte taking over as the interim manager for the rest of this season?
I mean, honestly, I don't really see any problem with it. I don't personally know too much about him, but from everything that I've heard and from what I've seen, I guess, with the lineup at least so far, is that he's willing to sort of do what he needs to do in order to win, and he's probably going to be a good voice for the locker room. And it's good because, I mean, the Cardinals haven't fired a manager, I don't even think in my lifetime. So it'll be good for them to take a nice long look at everybody around and, you know, sort of figure out what they want before they don't want to make a stupid, rash decision. They want to really make sure that we have the right guy. So, I mean, having Schulte as the manager for the rest of the year is fine. I mean, we really got to find the right guy for the future because at the end of the day, that's what this is about.
Yes, and as I was listening to you speak, I was kind of scrolling through Twitter, and you know there was a replay or an option of doing a replay, and as the Cardinals were looking into it, Matheny would have signaled, this is what Jeff Jones says in his tweet. He says, Mike Matheny would signal to the home plate umpire that he wasn't planning to challenge a play with a definitive point in his direction. Mike Schulte opted for the dismissive wave. And I think that that's pretty great right there. That may have won him some points already. Russ, what do you think about Mike Schulte coming up as the interim manager and serving for the remainder of the season?
Well, I don't know a lot about him personally, a lot about him, kind of like CMS. However, it makes sense. He came up from the minor league coaching. He's probably communicated, dealt a lot with the guys that got on the roster now. So I'm guessing that makes sense to me that they keep him to the end of the year. And it might be very telling that they're going to do that. They're going to keep a close eye on him and see how he does. If this team responds and surges and goes into the playoffs, and I think you've got your next Cardinal manager. So, yeah, I think it's the right move to make right now.
Trevor, your thoughts?
Again, I don't know a whole lot about him. It seems like a good move to make him an interim manager, and as Matt was talking about that press conference, the inner cynic in me came out saying, he's the only one who says he wants to win a World Series. Well, yeah, he's saying that because he wants the job, right? He wants that full-time job. He doesn't want to be the interim guy. And as I'm thinking about that, as my inner cynic is coming out, I'm thinking, great, he wants the job, he's going to manage to get the job. And obviously no manager is going to go out and try to lose, but he's the interim manager, he wants that full-time job. He might put in, you know, that little extra stride, and that might be good for the Cardinals this year. As for him finishing out the rest of the year, I think it's great. I'm up in Detroit, so I'm going to use this example. The Tigers just hired Ron Gardenhire for this year, and that went against what everybody thought that they were going to do. Everybody's thinking this is a rebuilding team. They're going to hop on the trend, get the young manager who's heavy into the analytics, and they went old-school Ron Gardenhire, and the Tigers are performing over their head this year. They're not a good team. They're not threatening playoffs or anything, but they're not in the cellar either. So I think it's really important that the Cardinals, front office, take a look at what's going to be best for us, because it might not be going for the trend of the young guy with the analytics. It might be. I mean, that's for them to decide, but they need to find the right manager for the team that they're putting together and the plan that they have in their head. And I think that the Tigers going with Ron Gardenhire is an excellent example of why that's so important.
That's a really great example. And I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm glad that you were up there to bring that up, because I think some continuity at this point for both teams is critical. And I think, it would be a mistake for the Cardinals to hand the reins to Schulte for one game, two games. Because I read some stuff overnight about perhaps Stubby Clapp was going to be pulled up during the All-Star break to take over as manager. I, you know, if I'm Mike Shildon, that happens, man, that's a kick in the gut. And I just don't think that's what this organization or this team needs at this given moment. Not to say that it won't happen, because I don't honestly know. Let me tell you guys a bit more about Mike Schilt. I have had the opportunity to have watched him in Memphis and covered him in Memphis, as well as sat in his office in Memphis across the table from him after some games, doing the interviews with him, and sitting there with a guy who, one of the interviews I did with him, he had just won hands down. One of the interviews I did with him, he had just lost a really tough one-run game. And the themes that I picked up from him in both of those instances was a man who was very much connected to his players and a man who understood the impact of both the win and the loss. Ironically, the one-run loss game happened one day after he had the opportunity of telling Aledmys Diaz that he had made the opening day roster and was going to be going to the Cardinals. And Schilt told me the story he wanted to talk about was the Aledmys Diaz story, not the game, not the loss. And he talked a bit about the loss, but then he said, you know what, we lose a lot. And if we stay focused on the losses, then they will start to pull us down. And he said, there's these great, wonderful moments of a win, even when your team hasn't scored more runs than the opposing team. And hearing him say that, that's the sort of thing that, even though he doesn't, he's not boisterous and he doesn't make a whole lot of noise, knowing that a man is going to be able to go to our players and say, you know what, we may have lost today, but here's a win. This was a win moment. And really build and capitalize upon those things. He is a man who fought his way up through the ranks. He was a walk-on baseball player. Walk-on in college, walk-on in the minors, was not a terribly great player, but he learned a lot about the game. And his mother was actually a secretary in the front office of the minor league team for the Orioles as he was growing up, and he was always around baseball. So he learned a lot about baseball from the beginning. He's a very smart man, and he's a man who remembers you once you've met him one or two times. And as a testament to that, I got in the elevator with him at AutoZone Park and was riding up to a press conference where Mozeliak was there to announce a new owner of the team in Memphis. And Schilt got on the elevator and immediately turned to me and called me by name. And I'd only interviewed him twice, but he remembered my name. That was really impressive to me, and I'm not someone to be remembered, but it was just that's his way, and that was a great thing. I am excited about him serving the rest of the season. I do think he wants the job full time, and I do think he will manage the second half of the season with the expectation of getting the job full time. I think the Cardinals would be remiss if they didn't give him a fair shake, and I think they will. I think he has a second half of the season to show whether or not he should be the one to be considered. I think there will be a lot of trials in the second half. And one of the first trials will be the trade deadline and whether or not the brass can go out and pick up some big names and attract them to come to the Cardinals and play for Mike Schilt. And that will be something that will be very telling. So, guys, I'm really excited about him being on there. I think he's going to do a great job. I don't think he will have as much of a hand in, say, pitch selection as Matheny tried to pretend like he did not. We know now that that's not entirely true. We know that Matheny was doing a lot of the game calling and not letting Yadi do his job. And, Schilt has worked with Yadi, both in Memphis and in St. Louis, and I think that he will let him do his job, and I think he will let everybody else do their job. One last note on Schilt, and then I'm going to have us move on. The man takes copious notes. They actually spoke about that during the broadcast today on Fox Sports Midwest. You will always see him writing. He has a notebook that he carries during the game, and he writes down moments to remember and something that happened that was good, something that was bad. I asked him once if I could see his notes. They're not long, drawn-out notes. They're very quick little jots, but it's things that he wants to make sure he gets to go talk to people afterwards, and he remembers the specifics. He's a very smart man, and I think that we will see dramatic changes in very small ways. I think moving Yadier to the two spot made a lot of sense. I think he's having a tough time of it, but I think there's just so many positives that will come out of all of this that it's great, and I'm so happy for him. Something that I am even more happy about, even happier about, is the promotion of two names up for hitting duty. But before we get to that, let's take our last break. You are listening to episode number 14 of season number 2 of the official Renford Rants podcast on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back. And thank you for sticking with us. You are listening to the official Renford Rants podcast, episode number 14 of season number 2, where we are doing a special podcast to talk about the very exciting news released from the St. Louis Cardinals overnight and more so today at an 11 a.m. press conference. We have got an amazing group of guys with us today doing the podcast, and we're going to dive right into the second half of our podcast here, the last half as we go towards the end. This is probably, we just did our seventh inning stretch, fellas, so we're moving into the final three innings. And let's talk about the promotion of Mark Vedaska and George Greer to hitting duty. Let's start with you, Trevor. Tell me your thoughts on Buddha and Greer coming up, taking over the hitting coaching job.
Well, as you can probably guess, I don't know much about either one. But correct me if I'm wrong, Buddha's coming up from Memphis, right?
Yes, he is.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, let's look at Memphis. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they've done the past 2 years. They're hitting the ball pretty well. I mean, they're winning. So that kind of culture and that, you know, and you talk about the guys who are coming up and they hit right away, anything like that, I think that's going to be good for the Cardinals and who they have right now. So it might not even matter who the new coaches are. It might just be one of those change of scenery kind of things where they aren't changing from St. Louis. They're just changing who's helping them. And I think that could be something really good. I don't know. As far as who's taking over for the season, I'm excited that it's anybody else.
And I think that's fair. Let's go to Matt. Matt, your thoughts on Buddha and Greer.
I know that it seemed like every time people went down to AAA, players, and they would come back and have a fire under their butts. He was sort of the name that turned them around. So I again don't know much more than that. You probably know the most because you live in Memphis, but I at this point, a different voice in the ears of the players, I don't think can be a bad thing.
Russ, your thoughts?
Well, I kind of concur with Matt there. It makes sense to me that they would keep someone in the system in the organization that the younger guys are used to hearing and bring them up and let them work with them and just see how it goes. At this point, I think anything would be an improvement, especially the way the team is going. So a fresh voice, but at the same time, not an unfamiliar voice for these young players and for a lot of the members of the team. So, I think it's a sound decision.
Christian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the big thing that is the fact that he is both familiar yet fresh. There has been a bunch of stories of a variety of different players that have come out and have said that, you know, that Buddha has been very, very instrumental to their success. And actually, another thing I want to talk about is Greer, because, he worked with Patrick Wisdom for a little bit when he was struggling to hit. And I believe it was in 2016. He only hit 5 home runs in 81 games, which is like part like 1 in every 16 or so games. He wasn't really swinging the ball very, hitting the ball very well. Greer worked with him. Wisdom talked about how he worked with his hands. Greer simplified the swing. And that was about spring training of 2017. And so since then, Wisdom has 43 home runs in just over 200 games, which is basically it's 1 in every 4, 1 in every 5. So, I mean, I think that both of those guys have proven results. And I believe that I'm really hoping that those results can translate to the major league level.
Yes, and to all of those points, let me toss out a few names. As you said, Christian, we got the Patrick Wisdom example, and that is a pristine example. We also have the names of Jose Martinez. We also have Colton Wong. We also have Matt Carpenter, Harrison Bader. These are Luke Voigt. These are names who were immediately impacted by the work of Buddha and by the work of Greer. And having them step up to the major league level is something that this club has needed. It is something that we should see an immediate turnaround. Now, having said that, let me also toss out a few other names. Dexter Fowler, Marcelo Zuna. These are names of people who have not yet worked with them. And I don't mention those names as negative to the climb of Buddha and Greer, but rather as opportunities for Buddha and Greer to show the impact that they can make on this team. Yeah. We know that Buddha and Greer can work with Harrison Bader. We know that they can work with a Luke Voigt if he finds his way up. We know that they can work with Yadier Molina. All of these things because they have. The real test for them is going to be Dexter Fowler and Marcelo Zuna. And these are two players who the Cardinals really need to have an offensive output from in a very positive way. Before we move off of these two names in this discussion, let me say what's very interesting to me is the fact that they did announce that these two men have not yet made it up to St. Louis, that they're actually going to be joining the club during the All-Star break. But until then, as in today, the Cardinals are sort of flying blind in a way in the hitting side. What do you think about them not having a hitting coach in the dugout at this current situation? What do you think about that, Christian?
I mean, I think it's a good opportunity for them, for a player individually to sort of look at himself, you know, sort of not have that influence around them and sort of, you know, try to figure it out for themselves from within what they need to do. And sort of, you know, you have the opportunity to try things that you weren't able to try before and, you know, to do things that you personally feel is comfortable for at least a few days. I think that it could help some players, you know, relax a little bit more and not think so much about the approach that Mabry is trying to, or lack thereof, that Mabry is trying to force on them and, you know, sort of find it out from within themselves.
Yeah, I like that take. What do you think about that, Russ?
Yeah, I don't think that's a big problem for one game for them not to have their hitting coach around. I doubt if the hitting coaches every day said something to every player every day. A lot of it's just watching and then inserting your opinion when you think you need to. I don't think it matters really today for one day.
Well, I have to agree with both of you because not based on what you said, but from the fact that the absence of a hitting coach is something they've had since John Mabry was present. What do you think about that, Matt?
I agree. It kind of depends on how much daily contact that a hitting coach has with the players, which I just don't know. But, yeah, it's one day. These guys are professionals. They know how to hit. They faced Dave Sclafani again before. So I just think just one game's not going to hurt them too bad. Can't do much worse than the last two games.
Now, that's a very fair point. Trevor, what do you think about the absence of the hitting coach for this one game?
I bring more stories from the Detroit organization. This is just, it's not abnormal. Because one, you're not going to leave Memphis high and dry without the same thing. You still want the success for your young guys. And I'm interning with the Toledo Mud Hens right now. The Detroit Tigers pitching coach, Chris Bazio, was fired or let go or however you want to say it. And they called up the Mud Hens pitching coach, Jeff Pico, to be the bullpen coach. But that took about a week. So it's not, it's not abnormal. They already know pretty much who's going to be taking over there, but there's some overlap that you want. There were a few days when Mike Alvarez, the new Mud Hens pitching coach, was there talking with Jeff Pico and getting all that information, because they're not going to leave him high and dry. And like they've been saying, these are professional hitters at the Cardinals. They know that their job is to see ball and hit ball. And if they need to do that, they can do that. And they do need to do that, even though they, haven't been. But it's not abnormal, so I'm not taken aback by the news at all. I don't see it as weird or anything.
Yeah, and honestly, it might be a nice break for them to have at least a one-game clean slate to focus in and deal with Mike Schilt and the rest of the assistant coaches. Quite honestly, from my perspective, if I'm in that dugout, I'm listening to the Jose Oquendos and the Willie McGee's before I was ever listening to John Mabry anyway. And so with his absence of just this one game, there's still plenty for them to learn and listen to some of those other guys. For our final topic today, I'd like to hear from each one of you. Just now that this change has taken place and now that we have a whole different outlook on our St. Louis Cardinals, give us your perspective, the best that you can do, your McCleo, your great psychic view into the second half of the 2018 season. Let's start with you, Trevor.
Okay. The second half, obviously it's important, especially with the new coaching. We'll see if it was actually Matheny, Mabry, and company that was hurting this lineup. But with the money that are in some contracts, if these guys still aren't performing, I think that part of the reason of waiting the full year and having Mike Schilt be the manager is to see where they need to go. If they can get their top guys performing again in the second half, regardless of if you make the playoffs, then maybe you go with that younger trend manager like I was talking about, and that's what you look for. But if you need to launch into a rebuild, you might go for a manager just to cover a couple years, like what I'm assuming Ron Gardenhire is in Detroit. So the second half is going to play a huge role in that search. And that's what I'm going to be watching the entire second half. Honestly, if they make the playoffs, great. If they don't, then we'll kind of, in my mind, know what direction the manager search should be heading.
Christian, your thoughts on the second half?
I mean, I agree with Trevor there. I mean, he put it perfectly in that you sort of have to gauge. I mean, the Cardinals are going to be very much gauging where they're at the end of the season. They're going to be gauging where they're at as the season goes along. They're going to be gauging, it's about sort of measuring up where we are now, because there's an obvious sort of a disconnect between what management sort of thinks we are, or what the management sort of thinks the Cardinals are right now, and what they actually are performing like, what they're actually playing like. So I think it'll be just a lot of measuring up where they are. But I am also hoping to see that it's not going to be immediate, but I'm hoping to see gradually some improvements, especially on the offensive side. I mean, it's obviously, there's only so much you can do if you have guys like, if Jordan Hicks is giving up 4 runs, if Greg Holland is giving up 3 runs, there's only so much you can do as a manager in terms of bullpen management. But for the hitting, I mean, I personally am in the opinion that Mabry was a big issue with the hitters. I mean, he with Mabry in as a hitting coach, the Cardinals, who are traditionally a pretty decent walk-drawing team, were above league average in every season that he was there. So I'm hoping that there'll be a little bit more discipline. I'm hoping that we'll be able to see a little bit more approach from some of these players that, like Siler, that have just sort of been swinging away. And I'm not going to expect a playoff run. I'm not expecting, you know, anything like any big, huge turnaround. I'm just expecting gradual, slow, but sure, steady progress.
Russ, your thoughts on the second half?
Well, I think probably what's going to be interesting is the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline hits us. Is why can the new staff make enough impact on this team where they'll make it worthwhile for the front office to go after some names to help them out this year? Or if they see that if they go in and after a couple of weeks they don't think there's much going to happen, if they start the trade deadline is to be – to be about 2019. I think the next couple of weeks are going to be interesting for the Cardinals and see how the front office reacts to that.
I think that's a very fair point. Matt, do you want to add on to that, or what are your views of the second half?
Well, I kind of have a little bit of a different thought. Kind of in the words of the Eagles, you can't let me down because I'm already standing on the ground. The Cardinals are one game above 500 right now. That's pretty much a low for the last 15 years. I know they've been at 500 and below at times, but I know there is a lot lower they could go, but as far as where they've been and what they've been doing, you can't get much worse than you are. So I think that should not be a depressing thing. That should be a freeing thing, because you know that changes are coming and probably personnel and in coaching staff. So why put any pressure on it? Just go out there, do what you can do, and just see where it gets you. I think that was kind of what happened in 2011. And I'm in no way comparing this team to then. But I think that they shouldn't put any pressure on themselves, because you know things are going to change regardless, so why not just go out there and try and do the best you can do, you know?
Yeah, and I really do agree with you, Matt. I feel like if they would go out and take that approach, we will actually see some pretty wonderful things come out of that. I think that the first half of the season, the entire personnel and coaching staff felt this pressure, and it was Mike Matheny being on the hot seat, pressure on Mabry, that sort of thing. And that affects everybody. And with that being changed, there's an opportunity now for them to take a breath and go out and just play some ball. My take on the second half is a two-parter. And the first one is, as Russ well said, these next couple of weeks are going to be pretty critical to see what this team is going into the trade deadline. What we heard from Mozeliak in the last couple of days is that he's going to be trading for MLB talent with MLB talent. Now, that's an easy thing to say when you have a lot of talent in your farm that's MLB ready. That means the likes of Luke Voigt, that's an MLB ready talent. Harrison Bader's an MLB talent. Fowler is an MLB talent and could regain a good deal of his trade value in the next week or so. They're going to have a real strong test right out of the gate after the All-Star break in the Chicago Cubs, and that's a great test to have, once Rochelle and company is on. The change also came at a really great time when they have this week off. They only lose one. Well, Michaelis is going to the All-Star game, although not playing because of the start of the day. Yadi's going and may or may not be playing. But outside of those names, and the others will probably go and watch some of the festivities as well, but they essentially have a week off, and that will be a week to get their feet wet with Jilt having some meetings with them, probably individually, and also getting to work in. With Greer and Hugo. And that, it's going to be a really wonderful time. And I think that based on the work they put into that, we'll see the immediate changes for the next couple of weeks and the 31st. Then the second part of my outlook into the rest of the season is we will know almost immediately whether the Cardinals are contenders or not, and we will see them making different approaches. If they are not contenders, then I oftentimes like seasons that are that way as well, because you get to watch some of the young guys come up and get their feet wet and get some experience they may not otherwise get. I think this team has the capability of being a really nice spoiler and making their way into the playoffs, if only for the one wild card game. But that in and of itself would be a success for a team that, as Matt well said, is only one game over 500 at this time. And so those are outcomes that are very achievable and at the same time will help define the team even better. Right before we get off of here, you guys, we're in extra time now, so don't worry about anything. We are no longer live. I just want to have you each have the opportunity to give us a name of who you think the Cardinals should really look at for their manager of 2019. Let's start with you, Trevor. Give us a name. One name.
Oh, God, that's hard. I'm going to say Joe Girardi. I really like that. I know he's, media emerges a favorite. I really like that name because I think he's been in the situation before when he was with New York where you have some talented teams that probably aren't really performing as you want them to. And I don't know if he's necessarily the guy to take it to the next step, but I really do believe that the Cardinals are going to need a couple of years before they pick their guy. And I think Girardi would be a nice little gap filler there.
All right. Matt, give us a name.
I saw this on Twitter this morning, and the more I think about it, the more interesting I think. Torrey Hunter. The thing I saw said that he would want minor league experience, but he grew up a Cardinals fan. He was a fantastic outfielder. Why not? Why not? Especially if they're only going to have him. Like, why not? Just go try it. You know? I thought.
And it's very interesting. He does have connections to the area. In fact, one of his sons played football at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which was my hometown. So I'd be A-okay with Torrey Hunter coming over for that. CMS, give us a name.
Give it a name. I'm gonna go out of left field here. I'm going to say, I know people have been saying it for hitting coach, but I'm going to say Jim Edmonds. I just like the culture that he would bring. I think that obviously he's proven his baseball acumen in the booth. He has the pedigree. He obviously seems like a very players. You know, we don't really know obviously whether or not he's be a player kind of guy because we obviously he has no managing experience. But he seems like he'd be a very down to earth, you know, players manager kind of guy. With the proper knowledge and the ability to sort of supplement whatever hitting coach might come our way, because God knows we need that. So I think that if he doesn't end up becoming the hitting coach, you could possibly even consider Jim Edmonds as the manager.
Yeah, that'd be a really interesting name for sure. Russ, give us a name.
Well, I hope I'd like for them to look outside the organization, at least see what was available. Let me just throw out Terry Francona of the Cleveland Indians. I know he's already, you know, he might not want to leave. The Cardinals might not be able to get him away, but I'd like to at least see him reach out and see what his availability is. I think he'd be a first-rate manager for the Cardinals.
He certainly came in second when they were interviewing Matheny, and it come down to Matheny or Francona, and so we got the short end of that stick. So maybe he will come over. Guys, a name for me, I'm really torn because depending on how well Schilke does, I wouldn't mind to see him stay. I also wouldn't mind to see Stubby Clapp called up from Memphis to serve as the manager. I also wouldn't mind to have Mark McGwire come over as manager.
No.
These are all great great options for the team, and I think that they now have the time to do, as they like to say, the due diligence on what is needed for the future. But, fellas, we have run out of time, and I want to say thank you to each one of you for joining on this special edition, the 14th episode of the second season, the official Redbird Rants podcast. Thank you, Russ. Congratulations on your first podcast. Thank you, Matt, for your second podcast. Thank you, CMS, for I don't even know how many you've done. And certainly, Trevor, I have no idea how many you have done. So, guys, thank you. Thank you to everyone who checked us out. Make sure you read all of our articles at redbirdrants.com. And we have one final thing to say on this podcast, as we do with them all. Go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals.